Good morning, and thank you for joining us. Yes, we are live this hour. It's 580-543-6580-KIDO. And of course, as always, these are my opinions only. And we're not here to tell you what to buy or sell. Silliness. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk today a lot about why I have a job. It's interesting to me that we went through a period, right, where so many people with so much information, and it's really very true, there's a lot of good information out there about how you can do it on your own. You don't need a financial advisor. They cost money, and those costs come out of your accounts, and so on and so forth. The Vanguard did a study a few years ago that showed that's not true at all, because people don't behave as well as they should, and which is what we spend a lot of our time talking about on this program, right? And it's constantly not to be afraid. You got to stay in the markets when times are tumultuous. You need to own great corporations, not try to trade them. And in a world where there's so much information and so much misinformation, everybody's competing for your eyeballs on this website, that podcast, so on and so forth. The competition is so high for your listening and viewing that everybody's screaming and yelling. And we're not knowing anything. We're not learning anything. Except I feel really tense all the time. So I have this shirt this past week, and it really struck me. I have this shirt, and all it says really is, stay cool, stay calm, stay invested. And it says just a T-shirt, you know, just something that basically I usually wear to work out in. But I happen to be wearing the shirt, and somebody says, that is a great shirt. But how do you invest? He literally did. How do you invest today? He says, this is just weird. This isn't what I signed up for. I know what he meant. It wasn't a political statement. Guy didn't even know the guy. It's not a political statement, just a fact. It's a fact we all feel. This isn't what we signed up for. Like he literally goes, says, I raised my boys. I paid my taxes. My boys are doing great. They're responsible citizens like I was. Right? He didn't sign up for this. But this is what we miss all the time. I didn't either. But the great corporations of the world can get around these morons. They figure out a way. They really do. And we just forget that. And we misbehave. And Vanguard of all, the self-help places, right? They're the ones that came up with this study. Didn't come up with it. It's not like they invented it. They went and looked at it. Is it because a financial advisor just knows so much more about investing than you do or could do? No, not really. That's not the reason why. Is it because they have tools and in different kinds of investments that you're just not aware of that could be used? There might be some of that, but that's not the reason. And again, the article goes on to say, this is not all advisors by any stretch. There's plenty of bad ones out there. And I don't mean ones that are just trying to sell you an equity indexed annuity or something like that. They're not advisors anyway. But the point is that they're not all good people. They're not all diligent in what they do. Not trying to be crooks or anything, but they don't spend extraordinary amounts of time. It isn't their passion. It isn't their love. It isn't, maybe they're not all that great with people or whatever it is, right? Because you just really got to care for people. But it's really because people are cool, calm, collected. Now, I don't know how people can do it out there standing on their own, for example, you know, just one person sitting there. It takes all of us when times get really tough that we can just really kind of lean on each other at the office, right? And I think that's true of most anybody. You can't come into this and go, I know what it's like to go through a bear market. You just hold everybody's hand. It's okay. No. When the market goes down 50%, it's frightening. You can't. And the phone's ringing off the hook. It's a problem. Or when you're trying to get people to save money and invest money, that's the other reason why you need a coach. A lot of people need a coach. I know nobody needs a coach. Nobody thinks they need a coach. Nobody just goes and goes, you know, I really need somebody to help coach me through this, to encourage me from the side. Yeah, let's put a little bit more on over here. Let's get going. Need to amp up that savings, run out some projections for you. You know, let's go. You need to put a little bit more away. Oh, I got this. I got it all figured out. And you can watch the bouncing ball. Nowadays, you can go to your Robinhood app on your cell phone and you can gamble in the market, even with fractional shares. Instead of throwing 10 bucks on the next game, we can throw 10 bucks on GameStop. And why not? That's investing, isn't it? And you wonder why people do better with an advisor. I've never met an advisor that said, hey, you know, for fun, we've got an app here that you can kind of gamble on with your investments. I've never met one, not even a bad one I've met that does that. And so when we look at that, it is true. You truly can do a lot on your own. And just buying a S&P 500 has worked very well for people. And this isn't true of all people. Nothing really ever is, right? But people, collectively, don't do well in the markets. They don't understand them. They say things like, you know, I've lost so much money. I don't have enough time to come back. Come back from what? We all do. You know, I'm nearing retirement. I better not do what? You're going to put it under the mattress for the rest of your life? Live off the bills? What are we going to do about inflation? How do we draw 4 or 5% income, cost of living adjusted, for the rest of our lives, no matter how long we live? Frightening questions. And honestly, I think there's a bit of wisdom. I'm not selling and getting a financial advisor. I'm just saying, this is what we do. This is why I have a job. And I think a lot of people don't understand what advisors do. And that's why there's all these articles and all these things out there that talk about how do you actually find a financial advisor? Not always easy. In fact, I don't think it's easy at all. And so all these articles are all written to try to help people help themselves or to help them find the right advisor. But people don't know. So what do? I call a big name place, you know, like a Merrill Lynch? You can. And the chances of you finding a really high quality advisor are probably not that great. They're just not. But it's a big name brand. But the big name brands come with a cost. They come with a lot of costs. Because half of their, if you will, are over half of what the people are paying goes off to New York. So do you go to an independent firm like ours? I think so, but that's probably pretty biased to say the least. But you don't have any conflicts of interest. Not half the money, all the money stays local. Yeah, the bill, you have to pay your own bills, sure. But most of all, regardless of where you go, I really believe, I know this is an overused buzzword, fiduciary, but you don't want people working on a commission. That's how you wind up with product pushers. Everybody ought to be in an equity index annuity so I make 10% commission. But I don't charge fees. So I don't understand how legally you can make that comment, and you can't if you're an RIA or you're a fiduciary. So I think that's the thing you always want to look for. We've touched on that before. It doesn't make things perfect, but it's a decent starting place when the fact of the matter is that person can only be doing what is right for you. Period. Period. And there's no commissions involved. Ever. Now that's, I think, an important starting point. But what is really important for us to recognize is our own talents. To think about the fact of being driven into fear. It's a fearful world. It's a loud world. It's an out of control world. Life as we know it, thought we knew it, thought we understood it, has changed so dramatically, and not because of COVID. All this was changing before. Can we really invest on our own? Stay invested. It's tough. And according to Vanguard, it's a massive difference, even with the costs of an advisor, as to how much money you have. I found it interesting. I guess I always find that interesting. How much more there is to this game than picking an investment? How much is in our own heads all the time? It's always in our own heads. Our performance is based on the fact of leaving things be, letting time compound all things, and pulling away and getting a high-level look at things, not the minutiae day-to-day and how bad things are. It's just really something, and I never seem to see, it never ceases to amaze me how much, if you will, is in our gut. Can we do it? Can we gut it out? Do we just panic because we don't like what's going on? We don't like the politics. The president can't think through more than two sentences. He has to read from a teleprompter because he doesn't have the ability to think anymore. It's a frightening world, and corporations are still navigating it like they have forever. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. We're going to take our first break, and hopefully you'll ring us up. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks again for joining us. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you're confused, I am live. I know we had a little recording before. I thought last week's program was important, so I wanted to rerun it again. Next week for Thanksgiving, it is obviously the radio station, but the radio station is closed. We are going to be recording, and I had the most fun with Senator Risch and Congressman Fulcher. It was just terrific to talk to them, and they are just, we are really blessed to have really good representation here, really good people to take and take care of people if they have problems in Idaho. It's really what their job is, right, is take care of Idahoans. We think of it on a national sense of how, you know, legislation and our belief system and electing the right people to follow that through, so on and so forth. But what they actually do is helping constituents get things done that the federal government's too big to do. And they need to help push it through. And they do a great job. I mean, absolutely never met anybody that didn't think that those offices did a great job. But anyway, good insight. And that's going to be replaying next week. At any rate, I wanted to jump on this and talk about this too. There's so much noise out there. And I mean, you know, I can't help it. It's one of those things that just really frustrating, frankly, when you're out there and you see every day. There has to be an explanation for why the market did anything. Stocks are flat because they're flat. They're just flat. They didn't do anything today. But the noise goes on and on and on and on. And it's not just that it's contradictory. It's pointless. Now, I get that CNBC has nothing to talk about except make stuff up all day long. I mean, all day long. It's what they have to do. I get it. But rarely is there really anything at all. And if you think about all of the bad news that's going out there, it's just noise. I mean, we've got COVID cases going up. Europe literally is on fire now. You may have heard Austria is shut down again. Shut down. What's going on is, of course, it's resurging. I know we're vaccinated, and therefore that's the whole end of the virus. It's not. And don't get me wrong. Obviously, all the studies show that people's, if you will, the severity of COVID is much better on the vaccine than not. But it was supposed to stop it, and it didn't. It's just something we're learning to deal with. But what a headline. This hospital over here overwhelmed. Isn't Florida, because it makes political hay. Florida's a disaster. DeSantis, who might run for president, is the worst guy ever. And now you don't hear about Florida. Why? Because their numbers are good. Vermont has a tremendously high, I think it's the number one state for how they're doing, right? Vaccinating everybody. Number one. And they're spiking in cases. So it just keeps moving. The target's moving. And the anger against people that don't get vaccinated or what have you comes and goes. That's noise. Market keeps rolling. But it's the thing. It's the lead story. It's the, oh my gosh, is everybody going to shut down again? Apparently the market doesn't feel so. Now, can you get different areas in the market like we did this week that are, in fact, changing? Like tech stocks. Oh, if we're, you know, if people are going to stay at home again a little bit more, then tech stocks are going to do really good. And companies like Boeing, maybe not so much. A reopening play. There's no doubt that you'll see little rotations throughout. And what happens with this $1 trillion fiasco that Joe and company are bound and determined, regardless of what polls say, that people want to pass? What's that look like? Certainly, it's not long-term good. It's terrible. It will cause even more inflation. It will remake America in ways that we really never dreamed of. Is that a reason to sell Apple? You know, sometimes we have to take it down to the core of its essence, right? Is this a reason I should sell Apple? That Washington, D.C. is doing the wrong thing. I should sell Google. Amazon will never do any good anymore. I think we know the answer, but our reactions speak loudly. Or our overreaction, our fear that I can't bring the money in. I sold this piece of property. I can't invest now. A lot of people have been saying that for 10,000 points. We equate all of the news with what's going to happen in the financial markets. I know you can't help it, but you can't do that. It's just not true. So we have so much noise. It's so difficult. We've got on one hand the gambling mentality exploding. DraftKings, make a bet anywhere, anytime, on your cell phone. Do it with the market. Robinhood looks exactly like a video game type of screen. It's for play, not investing. It's that generation. And we're getting away from the simplicity of businesses and creative destruction, how it works, and owning the great corporations instead of trying to trade them. I get it. I like a good crap scheme. Action is fun, but not with investments. Not with investments. This is serious stuff, and it should be treated very seriously, because the welfare of your finances is important to our health, our mental health, our feeling of security, happiness. No, money's not anything but a tool. It's not how you be happy. But financial security can certainly make people happier than when you're insecure. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Fox News is next. Bring us up on the other side. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO, that's our number. Inflation. That's the other thing we get to worry about every single day. And it's there. It's happening. And of course, when it is happening, people predict it's going to get worse. That's how you make a name for yourself. You cry wolf. You scream and yell. What is odd to me when we think about inflation, and of course it's real. It always has been. Even if it's a small amount, it erodes your purchasing power over the years, and you simply have to have more money to buy the same things. We all know that. It just simply has to be the case. But one of the things that has really been amazing is what technology has done for cost to business, productivity in those businesses, which basically rolls all the way back to, and it's one of those tougher concepts to understand, but if we are more productive and we have fewer employees, say, producing more goods and services than we did before, and that's true of every single business, everyone, they're all different. You know, I've talked about this many times to think about what an inflationary edge this is. It's not just, you know, if you will, profitability, but everything in investments has become so much cheaper. For the average person, you can buy an exchange-traded fund. Let's just say you just want to buy the S&P 500. You can do that. It's called a spider. You just buy a spider. It costs nothing. You're like, I want to buy one. I want to buy one every month. You buy one. That's it. No, what they used to call round lot, like you have to buy 100 shares of something to get a decent deal. They used to have spreads between the buy price and the sell price that were massive. I mean, on the most active stocks, it would be an eighth of a point or a quarter of a point. Well, that's 12 and a half cents. It's a penny today. They're talking about going to a half a penny. Half a penny. It costs nothing to buy. It used to cost hundreds of dollars for every trade. Every single trade. Commissions were high, and now they have all the kinds of no-load funds and all those things people can buy. Vanguard was the leader in that, is the leader in that. All of those things are really because of technology. We at our office now literally can pass on all of those cost savings, all of them, and more, because we also have fewer people than we did with 1/4 of the business that we do today. Because technology has enabled us to do that and do a better job of it. We take this stuff for granted, but it comes out in prices all the time. All the time. Price reductions in every single industry. I don't know. I don't shop a lot. Not a lot. It's honestly like putting needles under my fingernail. I don't like it. But when I do, I just marvel. You mean you can buy a shoe for $20. Now, it may not be a Jordan Air springy thing or whatever it is, but you can buy a shoe. I don't know how even some of these really, you know, because I know ladies and purses are a thing, and I just, not a thing I really understand, but it's a thing. And I know there's certain brands and all, but, you know, I don't know how they get to do a purse and socks and underwear and all those things that are just like the costs just keep going down. You go to Costco and you know, like 20 pair of underwear for $10 or something. I mean, it's just ludicrous. The costs are down on everything. So when we talk about inflation, it's true. Today we have it. But long term, we continue to bend the cost curves. Do we really think that the hospitals and doctors are going to work the same after COVID? That teledoc isn't going to become this amazing thing? That people aren't going to be consulting with the world-renowned expert in Houston somewhere from Boise or Council with all of the data in front of them on a really tough case instead of people flying all over and not being able to see those folks too? We're going to find out ways. We spend too much money. The government spends too much money. They intrude too much in our lives, and we just don't even think about it. If big government was a good idea post-Depression, why has it grown so big and it needs more? I mean, literally, during the Depression, the worst time ever, the GDP collapses, and we're spending like 2.5% of GDP on government. We're at 25% today. Does the government seem to do a lot more for you, like 10 times what it did? I don't think so. We're not getting our money's worth, and that crowds out the private industry, causing inflation. That's where we're at right now. Too much government causing all kinds of problems. And you know what? It's going to keep happening. We know it. Even if this bill doesn't pass, please don't pass. We're going to be living with an awful lot of extra cash rolling around our system because the government won't stop. They keep sending money to people who aren't working, causing a lot of employment problems, supply chains, et cetera, right? It's not good. It's not good. But this is going to ebb, and then it's going to recede. We are going to see inflation like we haven't seen in many, many, actually 30 years, right? Right now. I don't know when that ends, and I don't need to predict that. But what I find ironic is that people get scared of, let's say, inflation, and what do? They put the money in the bank, earning zero. They tie it up for 10 years in an equity indexed annuity that won't keep up with inflation. It's guaranteed not to. Fear drives us in crazy ways. We take the potential of a short-term temporary price correction and somehow impose that over the idea that those are real losses, material losses, and that the market this time won't ever come back. That I can't buy now because it might, you know, we could get a correction. You will have a correction over and over all the days of your life. It's what markets do. They also give you your whole life 10% returns called creative destruction. Nothing else touches it. We make it hard and we get fixated on things. And then sometimes we make these weirdest decisions, don't we? I mean, I'm going to go ahead because I'm really, really nervous right now. Guarantee let's assume inflation's 6% like they said. I'm going to guarantee a 6% loss because I'm going to earn nothing on my money. I don't know what kind of investment strategy that is, but if you keep that up and in a world that has nothing but bad news, and I mean, it doesn't have just bad news. It reports only bad news all the time. So we have to be aware. You're not looking at and getting a true picture of what technology is doing to bend the cost curve, what we're going to do when government finally slows down all over the world. We just can't be running into this constant message of fear, or we never invest. And as I said before, if you don't invest, you can't win. You can't win. And it holds people out. All right, our final break upcoming. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. All right, let's go ahead and jump on the phones. I believe we've got Al in Ontario. Al, are you there?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say, I think the federal – hey, how you doing? Hey, I just wanted to say, I think the Federal Reserve has canceled out Joseph Schumpeter's creative destruction. Keeping these interest rates so low for so long has kind of really put our economic and financial system in distress. And I think the only way we're really going to solve these types of problems is by getting competent people into office, people who understand economics and finance. And unfortunately, we don't have those people in there right now. You know, we're kind of in a Tina situation. There is no alternative to some degree. And, that's not the place that we need to be in this nation. I think that we need to turn things around. You know, we need to turn things around where America is once again a nation that has her own industry and produces. And in that way, what we will do is we will increase our economic output, increase our financial viability. With the Marxists that we have in D.C., we're kind of going down the wrong path. So I think everybody needs to really look at the political aspects of who they are putting in office. And, you know, let's just be real. We can't put an addled-minded person in office. I mean, you know, we can't have addled-minded people who, I got to tell you, Clinton was right. Clinton said, it's the economy, stupid. And, you know, what we're doing now is something that the American people need to take a very close look and they need to reevaluate, so that we can bring our economic and financial system back into an equilibrium so that we can maintain what we've had for all of my life, really, and really, honestly, for the last 120 years, and that is the largest gross domestic product, you know, in the world. Unfortunately, now, the only way we can get a gross domestic product that's, large is through government intervention and government, you know, like you said, you know, very, very large percentages of our GDP are basically government at all levels. And this is not sustainable. And so it's a political thing that I think that everybody who's an investor, and everybody needs to be an investor, right? Everybody needs to be an investor. And so we need to look at these political aspects of our economic and financial system so that we can right this ship. Anyway, it was good talking to you, and thank you for taking my call.
You got it, Al. Thank you. Thanks for your call.
Thanks. Yes,
and
sir.
Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, Al had a good point there. I think the only thing I want to mention this, and this is an important point. Yeah, we're all politically, this is a very politically tense situation where we're trying to expand the role of government without with a real lack of understanding of what that means. It's not just tax other people and then give money away. That'll be more fair, or whatever people want to invent as the reason that they're doing it. But what we do not realize is that we're begging for government to do more. From 2.5% in the Great Depression of total GDP was government. Now it's 25%. 25% of GDP is government. It's too much. A 10x increase. If government was really good, maybe a 2 or 3x increase would have been amazing. You know, like, wow, we solved all of our problems. 10x, I don't think there's a human being alive that goes, man, I got to tell you, we got our money paid. We really got our money's worth there. With 10 times the amount of government intervention in our overall economy, that's what we have. And we need more? I mean, it's clearly the definition of insanity. We simply go, for example, at the schools and automatically go, yeah, they need more money, but they're doing a crappy job. Why do we never ask that question? It's just, well, they won't anymore. Not if we give them more money. Suddenly, it won't be a crappy job anymore. We never stop and ask that question, and we run that all the way through government at every single level. And this is what, in my opinion, it's not, we need less government by far. Less intrusive in GDP would help the economy, would help us grow, become more productive. It's a real detriment. Anyway, all right. We're just about out of time today. I want to talk about this because it's such an incredible local stock story, right, is Micron. And it's not the same local stock that it used to be, right? They're run out of California. All the executive suite lives in California. But we have a big facility here. So a lot of people work there, own the stock, get profit sharing, things like that. And Micron's on the cutting edge. The cutting edge of the supply chain, if you will. The crushing edge of the supply chain is probably a better way of saying it, because Micron's been hurt in the supply chain issues as well. But this week, the stock really took off. I mean, on Friday, it was up like 7 or 8%. 7 or 8%. I mean, it's a massive move for a big company. That's just a huge move. All because an analyst said that pricing was going to be good for memory, meaning DRAMs and NAND flash. That's what Micron does. It's really the core of the supply chain issues. And it took off. And it's been this odd thing, really. And this is one of the things I wanted to touch on. We have to be patient sometimes with our holdings. Let's say, for example, you believe in Boeing. And I'm not saying you should or shouldn't, okay? But you believe in Boeing. And it tries to go up, and then it goes down, and they've got another problem here, and it got a problem there, and then the stock goes back, and it's just been drifting around. It's very frustrating. But if you do believe that they are going to come back and make planes that stay in the air, right, you got to own it. You don't know where it's going to finally catch traction. You can't. And Micron's the same way. I never fully understood how a company that's right on the cutting edge of the supply chain issues, in other words, prices are going to be pretty good, isn't going to get their act together. And sometimes it just happens in a day, doesn't it? Just in a day. It just boom, and it explodes. If you have any comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you at petso.com, petsofinancial.com. I want to thank you, and I hope you have a great weekend. I won't be live next week, so have a blessed Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.